Happy Father's Day, and I'm going to dive straight in, and I'm going to title this message today, I Need a Daddy. Amen. Let me talk to you. Everybody say, you need a daddy. Yeah, I need a daddy, you need a daddy. Please take time out to listen to the first and second service. This world is upside down today because fathers are missing, daddies are missing. And I don't want to go into the challenges of having daddies that are missing in action. It causes all sorts of problems, you know, causes all sorts of problems. And so if you are here this morning or this afternoon and you are not yet married, you are very blessed, because it means that you have the right opportunity to make it good. In other words, be careful who you marry. All right, be careful. As a young man, you have to be careful about who you choose for a wife. And as a young lady, be careful about the kind of man you choose for a husband. I always say that make sure that the person you want to marry is well-daddied. All right, if there's any word like that. And I will make sure that the person has, has experienced what it means to be a father. Okay? Because if he doesn't know what it means to be a father, he cannot be a father to your children. He cannot be. So there are so many men, but very few fathers. Amen. The same thing. Make sure that your wife has been well fathered. Okay. So now we say, well, but Pastor, what if my dad? What if I came from a home where my parents are divorced, or my dad is late, or my dad disappeared, missing in action, or you know? But in Christ, those things do not matter anymore. You know why? Because in Christianity, we can have new daddies. We can have new mommies. We can have new brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a card from my daughter today for Father's Day, and she said something. She said, "Well, thank you for being a dad to me and also the over 500 plus children that you have." And she said, "Never once did I ever feel neglected in the midst of so many brothers and sisters." You see. So it's very important, but it's something that the impact of daddy is something that we must pay attention to, because if a man has not been well fathered, he's going to suffer from insecurities. These are facts. He will suffer from insecurity because fatherhood is not what you learn. Fatherhood is what you catch. You are groomed. Most men have not been properly fathered, so they come in with a lot of insecurities. So if you are here under the sound of my voice and you are struggling with insecurity, don't think one day it will go away. No. You see, it doesn't just go away. All right? It's got to be treated. It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be reinstalled. Lack of fatherhood causes anger. Whenever you see some men like that, you know, they're just angry. Just upset. Just tired. Because daddy is missing. When a father disappears from your life, it leaves a vacuum. So many of us, many people come into faith and they never deal with it. So you come to your anger. So they create bad habits. In some extreme cases, it affects sexuality. You're not sure whether you are a man or a woman, because these things, you need to be groomed by them. And for the ladies, sometimes it causes low self-esteem, causes the constant need for affirmation. These are facts, you know, because there's a reason why he says he made them male and female. So if one is missing, it has a devastating effect. So what am I saying? For us to be whole as a family, we must acknowledge what we are dealing with, and we must embrace the things that God has put in place within the body of Christ, you know, to make us complete. You know, so for most women, you have a constant cry for attention, you have a constant cry for affirmation, and you know what funny thing? Sometimes we want to try and the vacuum that the daddy leaves, no spouse can feel it. No spouse can feel it. So, daddies are the ones responsible for the mess we have in the world. Daddies, and so during the first and second service, I talked about my Fantastic Four, daddies that caught God's attention. I talked about Noah. God said in the Bible that Noah, in the time of Noah, things were very bad. The society was so terrible that God said, "I regret ever creating these people." And then he looked around and saw Noah. And the Bible says Noah was a righteous man. Instantly, in verse 10, the Bible says that, and Noah had three sons. So we look at Noah, you know, showing and modeling an example for his children in the midst of a very corrupt society. Then we look at Daddy Abraham. That Abraham, the Bible says that he chose Abraham because Abraham will instruct his children. You know, these things are the things that daddies do. And I would now look at the third daddy, Job. Job was constantly praying for his children, for the sins they have committed and the one they are yet to commit. That is daddy at another level. And then we then look at Joshua, the one who stood and said, you know, we remember these people for these things. He said, as for me and my house. Nobody remember the conquest of Joshua. But we remember what he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he modeled how to serve the Lord to his children, to his community. And so it's very, very important. So if you have daddy issues, if you have daddy issues, it's not a problem. It's not your fault. But embrace what God wants you. Embrace the cross. And in cross, in Christianity, God bridges that gap. Amen? Praise the Lord. God bridges that gap. And he uses men and women to bridge that gap. For our ladies, it's a lot easier because ladies can cry out. But men never cry out. A man can be depressed. He can be depressed and put a plastic smile on his face all day. He's not happy. Yeah? Or he can drive himself to work and keep working. And then you say, oh, this person is very, very ambitious. No. He has a problem. You understand what I'm saying? So we have a way of doing this smoke screen and everything. And so please, it's very, very important that you know the function of a father. There's a function of a father. If you don't know it, you have not experienced it, you can't teach the next generation. You can't give what you don't have. So very quickly, I want to define father for you so that if you've not experienced it, get one. Get one. You know what I mean? Help me tell your neighbor again, you need a daddy. I need a daddy. You know something? I was sharing in the first and second service that I grew up in a background where my natural father, is a very lovely guy. I love him. And one of the things I picked from my dad is he's very very liberal, very generous. I went to preach last week in a church, and I was telling them by my dad that, you know, I'm the kind of guy that come to my dad when I was, you know, 19, and I said, Dad, can I have the car? He said, we had only one car before we bought the second car. He said, yeah, where are you going to? Daddy, I'm going to a party. He said, okay, take the car. I'll be expecting him to argue with me and say, no, where is it? He said, okay, the car, the keys are in my drawer. I go to, he won't even argue. I'll take the car keys. And I pick my friends up, and I will go to a party. And now everybody will be drinking, everybody will be dancing, and I'll sit down watching the car, because of responsibility and trust. And then one day I said, Daddy, I said, I'm going to a party. I said, oh, don't you need the car? I said, no, I don't want the car. I don't want the car. You know. So and I learned to be liberal. But something about my dad is that he was one of nine, and the eight other uncles of mine died. So they all died, we don't know for whatever reason. But he was telling me that this year, I started asking him questions about his background, you know. And he started telling me stories that, oh, I will go to school and come back. And I'll say, where's my brother? I say, he's gone. He died. So all of a sudden, one by one, he lost all his siblings. So my dad doesn't know how to be emotional. He just sits there. He's just very quiet. He's very reserved. He can live on an island by himself. You know, he doesn't talk, you know, and that's how so he's learned to be by himself growing up. And then but now, my mom, on the other hand, she's passed on now, you know, he's always very chatty, very popular, very, you know, very, very charismatic. And now my dad, I remember when I qualified as an accountant, and all he did was, congratulations, yeah, we've done very well. I thank you, Daddy. I say, talk to me. Nice one. I have a bottle of Coke in the fridge. When I was growing up, I never celebrated a birthday before. You know, like when you have kids now, I've never cut a cake before. You know, like it's your birthday, you stand behind a cake. I never had that because he doesn't know how to do it. You know, because he grew all by himself. You know, but when I got born again, right? And I got born again. That's why I have to be at all the parties now. I have to cut cake, and I hope they have cake for me today because God knows. You know, because it's a big problem. It's a big problem. Are you kidding? I'm serious. Never had one growing up. If you do your birthday here, you cut cake. You don't give me a piece. You are in trouble. I don't care what child, you, your mother, your father, all of you are in trouble. Because I never had that. But in Christ now, in faith, right? I don't have to start crying about what daddy didn't do. I can have it now if I want to have it. Yeah, the same thing. So it doesn't matter what background you come from, whether daddy abandoned you when you were a kid, whether mommy there, whether daddy wasn't there, it's irrelevant now. You can have a new daddy in the house. You can have a new daddy in faith. You can have a new, my personality today, my personality, my sense of humor, my behavior has no reflection on my dad or my mom. Came from my spiritual parents. My home is modeled, my marriage is modeled after those of my spiritual parents. Praise the Lord. Because in Christ, we are complete. Nothing is missing. But you must own up to the fact that you have a problem. If you don't own up to the fact that you have a problem, or you don't own up to the fact that something is missing growing up, then that is the real problem. Does that make sense? And in a family church like this, there's no point feeling cool like a cucumber, right? Because when you marry, we will see it. There's no point making the life of another woman miserable because you couldn't solve your own problems, right? It's just the way it is. So let me give you what a true father does. So you can at least, if you've not experienced one, go get one. It's not too late. We all need a daddy. Praise the Lord. So a father must model faith. A father must model faith and talk about two types of faith. There's the saving faith and the living faith. What's the difference? Saving faith is born again. So if you come from a background where your natural parents are not born again, then go get a spiritual father who is born again. Because you've got to see salvation modeled to you. Many of us have not seen anything. There are some things you cannot read in a book. You can't read that to be a daddy in a book. You can't read that. It's not possible. You've got to see it. You've got to, the most important things in life are caught. They're not taught. The most important things in life. So I know it's Father's Day, but also ladies, listen very carefully. It's the same thing applies. You know, you will never know how to treat your husband if you've not been treated by a dad. You will never know how to treat your husband if you have not been treated by a dad. Because dads are the reasons why there's problem everywhere. Fathers. I didn't say men. So many men, few daddies. If we can ask God to heal all the daddies in the land, we won't have problem. I'm telling you, we won't have problem. Right? Is the affirmation plenty? I say, I just mentioned now that somebody modeled liberality to me. My home, liberal home. Amen? Praise the Lord. So faith, you must see faith modeled. Faith, salvation. Second type of faith, living faith. What do I mean by living faith? Faith that is out of the Bible, that affects everyday life. You've got to see it modeled. As a father too, you must learn to model faith to your family. Model faith to your children. Please, we teach faith to our children. We model it. Being a man is not enough. With this, just last week, you know the stories in America. Young boy gets up, go to Bible study, sit down, listen for 1 hour, and then pull out the gun and shoot everybody. I said, well, say it's an extreme. Yes. But my first question was that, who is this boy's father? What is he angry about? What is he angry about? You know, many years ago, I was consulting in Germany. So I sat among my friends, you know, a lady from Wales, yeah, and two other friends. And then this particular lady was looking at me, and then she was staring at me. And my colleagues, I was staring at me. And I said, her name is Leslie. And Leslie, are you all right? He said, yes. So he started asking me questions about Africa, about being black, about... So I said, yeah. So I said, we chatted, you know, the table. And I said, so about my culture. And then she now said something. She said, my daddy taught me to hate black people. He said, I'm so surprised. He said, you are the first person I will sit down with and we have a chat like this. He said, my daddy. He said, so prejudice is passed on by a bad daddy.
Yes. Yes.
So the role of a daddy is very, very important. Now, how do you know whether you are a good daddy? Have you experienced a good daddy before yourself? What you have never experienced, you can't give. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Get one in Christ. Many. Pick and choose. Interview for one. Amen. Oh, I say so. You can interview for one. That's the liberty we have in Christ. Yeah? Daddy, I'm looking for a spiritual daddy. Have you got money? You look after me. You go, oh, you can see. Okay, you see before you choose. You know, it's true, right? My spiritual children cost me. My spiritual children cost me. They cost me a great deal. They cost me. Cost me time. Cost me effort. Cost me. Cost me health. Cost me. All right. So you must experience. You must experience that. So saving faith, living faith, right? You must demonstrate living faith. I gave an example in the first service about my biological son. I came one day. I had gone full-time in ministry, so there was no food in the kitchen. So the guy came in, opened the fridge, and said, "Daddy," I said, "Yeah." "So are we skint?" Skint. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what the word meant. So I said, "Skint?" He said, "Yes." So because I'm looking at the fridge, there's nothing in the fridge. I said, "What do you mean there's nothing in the fridge?" He said, "There's no food. There are no drinks in the fridge, Daddy." I said, "Hmm." So I went there, looked into the fridge. Of course, there's no food and there are no drinks. I said, "Oh." I said, "Yes, there's, we have food and we have drinks." And he got, "Dad, there's no food." I said, "We have food and we have drinks. You can't see it." So I walked away. You know, and the guy will probably look down and say, "What kind of a crazy father is?" And of course, typical kid, what is he going to do? I said, "There's food." He said, "There's no food." Well, and then less than 2 hours later, somebody knocked and said, "Oh, Pastor, I was just driving past. I went shopping, so I bought you food and bought you drinks." I said, "Ah, God bless you. Please put them in the fridge." So I kissed and put it in. Then I went back again and screamed his name, "Come down here. Go and check the fridge." Yeah. So you model. So it's the biggest lesson. The biggest lesson you learned of faith is not what you read in a book. It's what you see. It's what you see. Faith, Father, F, stands for what? Faith. 2, A, Father, stands for what? Adversity. Adversity. You must know how to handle challenges as a father. And as an adult, you must see how problems are handled. Most men have not seen how problems are handled. They read in books, they are told. There's nothing. I have seen my spiritual father handle, you know, they came, somebody, I was with him, and someone brought a terrible bad news. That thing, you can't see it in a book. Terrible bad news. And I was mean. I was already like that, like I was going to wet myself. I said, "Oh my God. What is he going to do?" And I watched him. And he smiled. You know, smiled. I went, "Praise God." And then cracked a joke. And I'm thinking, are you serious? The guy who brought the news is about to die. The one they brought the news to said, "Praise God." He's smiling and laughing and cracking a joke. And everybody around him, were, you know those nervous laughter? They were in stitches. They were not sure whether they should laugh. I said, "Oh my goodness, this guy disarmed a situation like this with humor. My God." And then he went out and he went through that whole thing with a smile on his face. He's the only person I've ever seen who will sit on a hot stove with a smile on his face. You can't read that. You've got to see it. A father must know how to handle what? Adversity. Adversity. You must know how to handle adversity. Get a daddy to show you one. I said, get a daddy to show you one. There are many in faith. You must know how to handle adversities because things happen. Amen? I share another example with my son. And one day he came in, he woke up, he had this terrible, terrible ringworm on his head. It was scary. And he came in and said, Dad, look at my hair. And everything, his scalp was all sore. And then he came, all of a sudden, the guy was bubbly. He wasn't too sure what was going on. He came, "Daddy, look at my hair. I said, "What is the matter?" I said, "I'm sorry, I saw all these things on his head." I said, "Wow." And I smiled. Remember, I'd seen it before? And I smiled. And I told him, "You look just fine." And the guy looked at me, and he felt his scalp. Went to check the mirror. He could not relate what he was saying with my disposition. Yeah? And I thought, "Well, that's fine." Went out on the car park on the park that day. He was all himself, laughing and bubbling and even showing his new map to his friends. Because he saw how to handle adversity. Many of us have not seen, and this you have not read about, we've not seen how to handle adversity. You need a daddy. You need a daddy. Praise the Lord. One time we were working in Cyprus. He was about 2 years old. We were working in Cyprus, and then someone flashed porn, right? It was in front of us, a big poster, porn, full blown lady naked. And I remember very well. He saw it first. And all of a sudden he froze, and then he looked up. Children always look up to see the expression of their fathers. Who are you looking up to? Of course, because you are 50, you don't need a daddy. You do. And he looked up, and I maintained, and I knew he was looking. Because of, you see, he was holding a child, freezed up, and then looked up, and I saw, and I was, what? And I saw it, and I just kept a straight face. So you pass a silent message. Next time you see something like this, avoid eye contact and walk past. So a daddy shows you how to handle adversity. Many of us don't know how to handle adversity because we have not been daddied, if there's a word like that, or fathered. We don't know. If we are at the sight of a challenge, rather than handle it, we fret, we panic, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number three, so A stands for what? Adversity. I don't have time to tell you the details of how to handle challenges. Maybe another time. A father is a teacher. T is for teacher. And I hope Tayo will get that. They teach us. They teach us. Oh, did you? Was it teacher trying to say it? Oh, teacher. I was teachers. I got you. A father teaches. A father teaches. You need to be taught. Especially many of us who came to England very early. You came to England as a teenager, maybe 16, 17, or 18. You've been used to being a jungle cat. A jungle cat is, if you're a jungle cat, an alley cat, you know how to, you have to sort your way through uni, sort yourself out on a job, sort yourself out on a deal. So you're used to sorting yourself out very quickly. And so many of us don't know how to receive instructions. You must be taught. A father teaches. Fathers, you must teach your children. You must. Training a child is not left to the educational system. Academics is academics. Life lessons is life lessons. Yes, the fact that you have PhD doesn't mean that you have been well taught. Are you listening? The fact that you have PhD does not mean that you've been well taught. A father must, you must teach. I'm telling you, Bible says that is the reason why God chose Abraham. I have looked at this man. He will teach. He will teach means to instruct. You must instruct. Well, for me, it was 3 weeks ago. I said, Fumi, the junior church. I said, Fumi, call me. He said, why? Fumi, call me. He said, Pastor. I said, why? I said, what do you mean, why? But why should I call you? It's now I understand the reason why. I said, call me. He said, yes, I heard you, Pastor. But why should I call you? I said, but why won't you call me? He said, but that's what I'm asking. But what? So we kept banning this. I was like, but what is the problem? So I was asking, what was the problem? He said, but that's what I'm asking. But what is the problem? So it's now I understand that you think that call me means that something is, how did you put it again? Out of slack. Out of something is slack. But maybe not necessarily so. I just wanted to hear your voice. Call me, you know. So a father teaches. How many instructions do you receive in a week and by whom? We have to fix this thing. If you don't know, if nothing is feeding you, you can't feed anybody. You know? I'm telling you because let me tell you something. A man gets married, have children, it's only the beginning of the process. That's not where it ends. A father must teach his children. You, as a Christian man, must have a spiritual father who teaches you. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what the T is for. Right? a father. So we can't leave training to school system. No. We can't leave training. You can't leave training to school system. And we don't have time to, so I'm just giving you the highlights as it is. We don't have time to talk about the different types of teaching and training that a father gives, that you as an adult, born again, spirit-filled Christian must experience on a daily basis. You have to. Because you cannot give what you don't have. If nobody is instructing you, right, or teaching you, you won't know the value of knowledge. And you cannot teach your children anything either. Because teaching, it is through teaching that impartation comes. Praise the Lord. Deep corrections comes through teaching. Yeah. So please, the T is for what?
Teaching.
Teaching. Teaching. Teaching. A father is a helper. A father is a what? I can't hear you. Helper. 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 Yes, that one was called. They help us. Yeah. A father, good father, you must help. You must. When we're cutting, I heard my spiritual father say that he went for counseling, and the counselor told him that, you know, husband and wife, they must fight, and they must step on each other's toes. So he said in his usual prideful way, ask the counselor that you and I are sitting next to each other. Why am I not stepping on your toes? So I thought that was where I picked up. Oh, okay. So it's possible for you to live with a woman and not step on each other's toes. I wasn't even married. I wasn't married. So, when we got married, I made up my mind that proximity does not mean toe-stepping. Proximity does not mean stepping on each other's toes. Because someone modeled it. So, a father is a helper. Helper. You help your spouse. Most men don't help their spouses. They don't help their spouses. Now, it's not because they don't want to help. They don't know how to help. Where did they see it? They don't know how. Most men don't know how to help. I don't know how to help. You think they are being wicked. You think they are being mean. But I'm saying that he was never taught how to. He was never taught how to. And so most men think that by raising their voice, that's how you assert authority. Everything is guesswork. Never been groomed. Praise the Lord. And some other blokes think that, well, it's through fists that we settle issues. Are you listening? So the guy is a nice guy, but he's never been fathered. And being fathered doesn't mean, that's my father. No, that's not what we're talking about here. Have you been groomed, well-instructed, and well-disciplined, and well-oiled for your life? That's what fathering means. And if you are here, and you have not been through that same process, correct it, because you'll be a nightmare to your wife. You will be, a bad example for the children. In fact, not even a bad example. You even have nothing to offer. So you will rule them through guesswork, and they will take that guest walk on to another miserable woman, a blessed girl, and make their life miserable. Right? You need knowledge. What you don't have, you can't give. A father is a helper, and you help your children. You help your children. You help your children. You know? This year, my daughter will be turning 18 and going to uni. Then I can finally write that book on how to raise teenagers. Well, you know something? Sometimes the best help you can give is to just be there and just listen. You know? And just listen and pay attention. And pay attention. Whether with spiritual children or with natural children, it's the same. And pay attention. Help. A father is a what? Helper. But I tell you what, a helping father, God will reveal something to a father with a helping heart. Are you listening? Please, you and I need someone that God will reveal our issues to before we even see it. We need that. We need that. Having a proper father around us is a weapon. Mm. Is an The Bible talks about a child. Say children, say they are like arrows, right? A father is a bow. You can't fire an arrow without a bow. A father is a launcher. Proper daddies. So many of us cannot launch into anything in the future of our lives because we don't have fathers. We don't have fathers. And speaking grammar doesn't manufacture fatherhood. We have to understand that if there's a problem, we have to understand what the function requires, we have to source it, and we have to subscribe to it. A father is a what? The first one says a father is a what? Uh-huh. Yeah. Adversity. Teacher. Helper. What's the next word? Encouragement. 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 If you have never experienced encouragement before, you can't give encouragement. Encouragement. Encourage your children. Encourage your wife. A father must know how to give encouragement. A father must know how to give encouragement to his children. And you, as an adult, and myself, as an adult, we have to learn to receive encouragement and put ourselves in the position of children so we can receive encouragement. It's everything in Christ flows, right? We receive, we give. We receive, we give. If you didn't have it before you got born again, now you are in Christ. You receive it, so you can give it. Right? You can't give the love you don't have. You can't give the encouragement you don't have. Praise the Lord. So you, every father, is someone's child. But if you say, well, Pastor, my natural parents are not like that, then get spiritual parents. But you need it either way. You need it either way. For a man, it provides accountability. It makes a man balanced. Makes the home balanced. There are so much things that we need to learn, but we can't just learn them from books. All right? Someone needs to show us. Encouragement. Father, so you're encouraged also by caring. You're encouraged by listening, by forgiving, by that. That's what it is. A father. We need daddies. Absence of daddies and fathers, proper fathers, fathers in a nation, it's bad. It creates all sorts of problems. Problems, unimaginable problems. It stretches the human race beyond what God intends. It creates unimaginable pressures that you can't deal with. It creates insanity when a father is missing. It creates a serious imbalance. So, it's a major problem. So, as an individual, we fix it by recognizing the importance of that role and the fact that the role has been left unfulfilled does not mean that the function is no longer required. I don't need anybody in my life. You are a liar. Because I'm telling you, you are a dangerous person. Dangerous person. I can't say that. And you know, it's one of my strongest weapons. You know, knowing fully well that you don't hold all the aces. Oh, it makes... I'm 49. It makes me comfortable. Right? Who wants to be number one anyway? I want to make sure I have a daddy. I want to make sure I'm a good son and receive instruction. You know, when you don't have someone who instructs you, right? Which I don't encourage any young lady to marry anybody who doesn't have anyone who instructs them. Don't. It was in the second service. If you go out for a meal, second service, and you are chatting and you are, where are you born again? Where are your parents? Oh, where are my parents? So they are. Oh, my father is not born again. Oh, really? Wow. So where is he? Oh, I've not seen him in a very long while. Hey, really? So have you got a spiritual parent now? No, I'm not into all these kind of things. Oh, really? So what are you into? So what are you into? And you still be eating the salad and everything. What are you into? He said, I've always taken care of myself. So So what if anything happens to you? Nothing will happen to me in Jesus' mighty name. So I said, just leave the salad bowl. Take your bag. Say, excuse me, I need to use the bathroom. You know. And I just carry the bag and just and just run. Because that man is a matter of time. He will kill you. The man will kill you. There are so many decent women, beautiful people, well brought up, that found their hands, themselves, in the hands of a man who has never been fathered. And then, do you know what they do? They crash their entire life. It's not just men, vice versa. Seeing young men, strong, vision, same thing. But what is the point of suffering? There are fathers in faith. Nothing should be missing. There are mothers in faith. Amen. You see, my mother abandoned me when I was young. Okay, that was history now. What about the mother sitting next to you now? Eh? What about the mother sitting next to you now? Are you listening? What about the mothers all around you now? And lastly, our reputation. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You need to have godly character modeled for you as a young man. I said modeled for you. Modeled. Not I read. You can't replicate what you read. Amen. So you must, it's reputation. Reputation. You groom. Our reputation. Right? So you must to develop godly character is something you have to see modeled, not talked about, not do what I say. Many people come from a background where, think about it, you know, if you come from a background where father is not a Christian, and you all your life you've seen telephone rings and daddy say, tell him I'm not at home. Most kids, that's the kind of environment. So the seed of deception has been sown into that child from, yeah, tell him I'm not at home. Yeah. You know, and then you say, well, and then a document comes in, you're looking at the letter. I say, Mr., did you get the letter? No. I've not received the letter. And the boy is looking at. And many of us are the kind of home we come from. I mean, some people come from that kind of home. And so that man, that young boy, doesn't stand a chance at strong age. Deception has been plucked into him like roots. Or you come from a home where your mother that girl, this is our spirit in the home now. Hey, we can't go on with what happens behind closed doors at home. Some homes are not, so those kids, they've been so exposed to certain things, those things, they are like spirits. They are plucked into them. It's a matter of time. Whoever marries them, marry trouble. So, you need someone to model godly character. Model. So you can know. Noah modeled. He says, no. There was sin. Things around him. He says, no. We choose to live for Jehovah. Church, that's the meaning of fatherhood. But now, we need to understand it so we can help the next generation. But you two, you are still a child. And you two, you need to be fathered. Don't bravado this stuff. I'm telling you. Because you will crush your destiny. It's not the way. It doesn't matter what you think. It's not the way God ordains it. And he set them in companies and families. And placed a man over them. So where are you? How are you going to do yours? How? Especially men. Men, please hear me. You cannot read in a book how to be a great husband and a great father. How? There is a spirit for accomplishment. There's a difference between what you know and how you act. Are you listening? That requires miracle, the Holy Spirit, to deal with some things. Anyway, happy Father's Day. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you because you are the Father of all. And we come to you today as your children. Thank you for fathers in the house. Thank you for men you will use to rebuild this generation in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive wisdom to heal our own wounds, Father, and embrace the alternatives you have provided in Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.